What's up, everyone? Welcome to your weekly tech update, the show that explores the newest, coolest, and sometimes crazy side of tech available on the interwebs. We also cover entertainment news, and I try to bring you a little bit of joy at the end of each episode as well. I am your host, Ray McNeil. Coming up on the program today, we're talking Sega's Game Gear Micro. It's living up to its name with a 1.15 inch screen. 30 years later, a lost Days of Thunder NES game is recovered from 21 floppy disks. And of course, we'll wrap up the program with this week's Moment of Joy. All that and a whole lot more coming up on today's edition of your weekly tech update next. So what's the next step after mini retro consoles? Apparently micro. For its 60th anniversary, Sega just unveiled this teeny tiny portable gaming machine, the Game Gear Micro. For reasons unknown to most people, Sega has taken the shrunken down system to a size that we've rarely seen before, capable of running on power from two AAA batteries or a USB connection. It's available in four colors, and each color has a different lineup of Game Gear games built into them. No switching out games with these. Last year's Genesis Mini was a surprisingly well-considered package that did more than just cash in on the retro craze. So maybe Sega is onto something here. I just don't know what that something actually is. If you don't want to choose between different variants of Sonic, Shining Force, Gunstar Heroes, or OutRun, well, then the solution is to buy all four, which I'd recommend because that package also includes a big window micro lens that mounts to the console to make its 240 by 180 1.15 inch screen much more usable. It has a mono speaker, headphone jack, and like the Genesis Mini, it can provide save states for your games that go well beyond what was possible back in the 90s. The four console pack is priced at 21,000 yen, or about $201 US, and will go on sale October 6th via Amazon. Amazon in Japan, that is. Sega's official online shop will be selling them as well, but that is it for the time. If you do get it from Sega, a collector's edition adds a fifth shell option, by the way. It's an appropriately retro smoke clear plastic frame, while the other retailers have bonuses including collectible pins or even special t-shirts. Smart home enthusiasts want to know that their privacy is, well, protected. The new Eve Cam does just that, thanks to its strong video storage security and features like presence detection, which deactivates the camera when family members are home. The new Eve Cam, the indoor security camera from Eve Systems, is available for pre-order and will begin shipping June 23rd. The Eve Cam is designed exclusively for Apple HomeKit Secure Video and brings all of your security camera's video feeds, storage clips, and notifications directly to the Home app. The HomeKit Secure Video feature encrypts footage end-to-end to ensure maximum security, and recordings are analyzed on the device through Apple TV, iPads, or the HomePod, and then stored in the user's iCloud account. The Eve Cam streams video at 1080p resolution and around 24 frames per second, and has a 150-degree field of view. The infrared motion sensor alerts you to any activity that passes within view of the camera, and it has night vision up to 15 feet. The Eve Cam also includes a built-in microphone and speaker for clear two-way audio. Due to its integration with HomeKit, the Eve Cam can be used to activate lamps, light switches, and smart outlets when motion is detected. How cool is this thing? For example, if you aren't home and the camera picks up motion inside the home, you can program it to flash the lights by the windows to draw attention from the neighbors. The app only works on iPhone or iPad, so Android users won't be able to use this smart camera. It also helps to have a HomeKit home hub, either the HomePod or Apple TV, with tvOS 13.4 or later, that works too. Eve Systems recommends that users have a 200 gigabyte or higher iCloud storage plan for storing the video. They can get pretty hefty. Users can access up to 10 days of video footage from their iCloud at no additional cost. The Eve Cam is available for pre-order from the Eve Store for, get this, $150. I know, that's it. And it will also be available on the Apple Store and, of course, Amazon starting in July. If you are a HomeKit user looking for a dedicated indoor security camera that takes advantage of the new HomeKit Secure Video features, then you gotta check this thing out. It also follows after another HomeKit exclusive camera, the Logitech Circle View, so there's no need to download an additional app to access the camera. When libraries around the US began closing their doors due to the coronavirus pandemic, the Internet Archive responded by creating a national emergency library. A collection of 1.4 million books from its free ebook repository, Open Library. Publishers immediately took issue with their titles being shared for free without payment to authors or publishers. Today, four major publishers filed a lawsuit against the IA alleging willful mass copyright infringement. Despite the Open Library moniker, IA's actions grossly exceed legitimate library services, do violence to the Copyright Act, and constitute willful digital piracy on an industrial scale. That comes from Hatchet Book Group Incorporated, HarperCollins Publishers LLC, John Wiley & Sons Incorporated, and Penguin Random House LLC. They filed the lawsuit in a New York court. The plaintiffs argue that the IA has no legal right to distribute the books, which it scans and uploads to its servers via Open Library or the National Emergency Library. The plaintiffs go as far as charging the archive with piracy. The lawsuit seeks a declaration that the IA is committing copyright infringement, injunctions to stop the IA from sharing copyrighted work, and statutory damages, which could be as much as $150,000 per infringement. Torrent Freak explains, as a library, the Internet Archive acquires books and lends them, as libraries have always done. This supports publishing and authors and readers. Publishers suing libraries for lending books, in this case, protected digital versions, and while schools and libraries are closed, is not in anyone's interest. We hope this can be resolved quickly. That comes from IA founder Brewster Cayley. He said that in a statement provided to Engadget. A nonprofit, the IA clearly isn't meant for piracy. In addition to creating the Open Library, it has attempted to archive everything Trump says on video in order to help fact-checkers. Fixed 9 million broken Wikipedia links, saved Google Plus posts, and even started a historical web collection to power services like the Wayback Machine. There's no guarantee that this lawsuit will succeed, but if the IA is slapped with statutory damages, well, it could be a fatal blow to the organization. In one of the most unreal data recovery projects that we've ever heard of, a seemingly lost Nintendo Entertainment System game has been unearthed as archived on a single hard drive backup spread across 21 5.25-inch floppy disks. A joint effort led in part by the Video Game History Foundation began earlier this year with a pile of leftover CDRs, floppies, computers, and other donated items by the family of late programmer and designer Chris Oberth. The results thus far, anyway, are one fully functioning game whose code had to be recovered, then compiled to run on an original NES. The game in question is based on Days of Thunder, a stock racing film from 1990 starring Tom Cruise. One reason this version got lost in the shuffle is because a tie-in DOT video game came out the same year as published by Mindscape. Oberth's co-creation for the same publisher was dated 1 year earlier, and it looked quite different. As the VGHF co-director points out, the unreleased prototype had only been mentioned once by Oberth. That was back in a 2006 interview with the retro gaming fan newsletter Retro Gaming Times. While trying to recover other lost games from the designer, the archival team noticed a single disc labeled Nintendo Hot Rod. The recovered prototype from the disc turned up a playable early proof of concept project about cars driving through a city, but its existence and a brief guess that it was somehow related to Days of Thunder was enough to focus the archivist's search on other discs for anything that might need coding to work on an NES. That guidance paid off when the team located a 21-disc archive of a single hard drive conveniently labeled PC Tools 5.10 Backup. Miraculously, all 21 discs could be read, and initial attempts to read the archive turned up a file directory with hints of Days of Thunder. Yet in spite of the data recovery missing portions of the game's source data, VGHF has decided to upload everything its engineers used to author and publish the ROM to a GitHub repository so that, if you wish, you can learn from the available code and produce your own versions of the discovered ROM. It's a big data recovery win for a project that began with hopes of finding Oberth's better-known lost games, particularly when he worked on arcade games for Stern. VGHF is still seeking information on recovering those games or any other lost software, and its archivists will happily accept your tips if you have any. And of course, any seemingly destroyed disc backups, because hey, who knows what you might find. Epic Game Store exclusively is a touchy subject for some PC gamers, but developer Creative Assembly may have found a way to make the best of a potentially divisive situation. When Total War Saga Troy, the studio's next game, comes out on August 13th, it will be exclusive to the Epic Game Store. For one whole year, in fact. However, in the first 24 hours that it's available, you'll be able to download and keep it forever for free. It will then make its way to Steam 12 months later on August 13th, 2021. Creative Assembly said it sees the promotion as a way to introduce new players to its long-running game strategy franchise, which can be intimidating if you've not played it in the past. As developers, we truly value our existing fans, but at the same time, we want to reach new audiences and have as many people as possible experiencing the thrill of Total War for themselves. That comes directly from the studio. Now, as a business, that means putting Total War onto new platforms so that it can reach more players. The developers went on to say it doesn't plan to make any of its future games Epic Game Store exclusives, but notes that it couldn't have made Troy free without Epic's help. Making it available for free for everyone to keep during the first 24-hour period wouldn't have been possible without this deal, they said. Total War Saga Troy takes place during the Trojan War. Like in past Total War games, you'll be able to manage your faction on a strategic map and then fight real-time battles that feature hundreds and sometimes thousands of individual warriors. In line with the game's mythology, heroes like Achilles, Ajax the Great, and Hector of Troy will fight alongside your armies. Creative Assembly's Saga games usually have a narrower focus than the studio's mainline Total War games, which should make this a good introduction for a few new fans. It was 7 years ago already that we first heard about Harvard University's Hammer cockroach-inspired robot. Although the bot was already on the tiny side at the time, its designers have now created a version that's just half the size. It's time to meet Hammer Jr. The original Hammer, that stands for Harvard Ambulatory Micro Robot, measured just 4.4 centimeters in length, that's about 1.7 inches, and used its four ceramic actuator-powered legs to scuttle around speeds of up to 8.4 body lengths per second. It was built utilizing Harvard's printed circuit microelectromechanical systems, otherwise known as PCMEMS, manufacturing method. This involves fabricating a flat sheet of micro-layered building materials, then using a laser to cut that sheet into patterns. The different panels that make up those patterns are then joined together by flexible hinges. This allows the panels to be folded into three-dimensional shapes, much like the pages of a children's pop-up book. In order to build Hammer Jr., the scientists basically just shrank the two-dimensional pattern design along with the leg actuators and integrated circuitry. Power is supplied via a hardwired external source. However, we have seen these robots or similar ones powered by solar power. The resulting robot is a mere 2.25 centimeter long, or about 0.9 inches, and at 0.3 grams weighs less than a single penny. Most robots at the scale are pretty simple and only demonstrate basic mobility. Researchers have shown that you don't have to compromise dexterity or control for size. That said, its top scale speed is faster than that of the original, coming in at around 14 body lengths per second. It can also jump, carry payloads heavier than itself, and turn on the spot. You know, e-bikes have become a popular choice recently for commuters, especially within dense cities. And Brussels-based startup Cowboy launched its first e-bike last year, solving the tech's ongoing battle between form and function with its unique removable battery. Now it's had a year to upgrade, and the Cowboy 3 comes with a bunch of new hardware features designed to make e-bike commuting easier and even more stylish, while still touting a sleek, removable battery built into its frame. First up, there's a new carbon belt, no more oily chain. Thankfully, I've always hated that thing, this time provided by transmission supplier Gates. This is a well-known brand, so bike shops should be able to maintain the belt more easily. Cowboy says it's good for about 30,000 kilometers, compared to the original bike's 15,000. The gears have also been tweaked with a lower gear ratio, making it easier to get up hills, and puncture-resistant tires have been introduced to the mix as well. The trim has been given an upgrade, and the bike is now available in three colors: absolute black and two shades of gray, if you want to call that three colors. The accompanying app also comes with some new features too, auto unlock, air quality monitoring, and crash detection. If you're in an accident, the bike's sensors will detect the fall and the app will send an alert to check in. If you don't respond, your emergency contact will be notified. That's pretty awesome. There's also a theft detection function, which will notify you anytime your bike is moving by someone other than yourself. These features will also be available to Cowboy 2 owners and will go live over June and July. It's a modest upgrade all told. Arguably, the new software features are a bigger standout, but it does bring improvements to what is already a pretty great e-bike. And at around $2,500 US, the Cowboy 3 comes with a small price bump, but that's value reflected in its improved repairability, a key issue with startup e-bike companies that don't always use traditional components from major brands. Namco has a new range of Famicom NES games coming out for the Nintendo Switch this month, and it includes an unexpected bonus, an NES demake of Pac-Man Championship Edition. The incredibly good reimagining of Pac-Man released for the Xbox 360 back in 2007. Pac-Man CE transformed Pac-Man from a plodding stage-based game into a fast-paced time attack where every round lasts 5 minutes and you're racing to get the highest score possible. It was designed for widescreen TVs and featured pulsating neon HD graphics, but it would have been perfectly playable on older hardware as well. Its advancement was entirely in smart game design. An NES version then should work out pretty well. Pac-Man CE ramps up in speed far more quickly than the original, with pellet patterns guiding you through the shifting map layouts as the iconic ghosts lay chase. It's a masterwork of simplicity, even if its own sequels never quite recaptured the magic. Namco Collection will be released in packaged form with the full range of titles, but it'll also be available through a free Portal app on the Switch eShop, with each game individually purchasable or downloadable. Buy 10 or more of them, and you'll be able to download Pac-Man CE for free. It's not clear how much each title will cost, but the packaged version is priced at 2,640 yen. That's about $25 US. The world's largest all-electric aircraft is about to take to the skies for the very first time. The Cessna Caravan, retrofitted with an electric engine, is expected to fly for 20 to 30 minutes over Washington State in the US this week. The plane can carry 9 passengers, but a test pilot will undertake the inaugural flight alone, cruising at a speed of 114 miles per hour. The engine maker MagniX, hopes the aircraft could enter commercial service by the end of 2021 and have a range of up to 100 miles. The CEO of MagniX said current airplanes are both expensive to operate and very polluting. Electric airplanes will be 40 to 70% lower cost to operate per hour. That means operators will be able to fly more planes into smaller airports, meaning a shorter and door-to-door experience with no harmful CO2 emissions. The Cessna Caravan being used by MagniX is one of the world's most used medium-range planes, with more than 2,600 operating in 100 countries. Thank you for watching your weekly tech update. If you have a story you think we need to feature on the program, send me an email, djraymcneil@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Tech Update and check out the podcast. Audio and video versions available on iTunes, Google, Spotify, Audio Burst, and elsewhere on the interwebs. Till next time, I'm Ray McNeil. Stay safe and stay healthy, everyone. And now, here's your moment of joy.